Grace and mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. The words of God again from Numbers chapter 21, especially verses 8 and 9. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten when he sees it shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. We pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts now be acceptable in your sight through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Well, if you're the kind of person who doesn't like to look at snakes, then you would have been in real trouble out there on the plains of Edom when looking at a snake was the only way to save your life. Nevertheless, I'll start with a little bit of a trigger warning this morning for those who don't like to look at snakes, and I know Miss Reddick always was squeamish about looking at snakes, because the next slide is a still frame from the 2006 movie Snakes on a Plane. There you go. I don't know if you can see it very well. Now, I haven't personally seen the movie, but I read a summary of it, and apparently there are all these venomous serpents crawling out of the ventilation system of a 747 in mid-flight, 30,000 feet up in the air, vipers dropping down with oxygen masks, killing people left and right, including the plane's captain. I like the way the theater poster said it. Sit back, relax, enjoy the fright. Poor snakes, always getting the bum rap and the bad press, always the creature to be loathed and feared, always the object of human horror. Even the intrepid Indiana Jones was afraid of snakes. But you know that in some cultures, snakes are actually associated with healing. It was the snake that represented Asclepius, the Greek god of healing. And the modern symbol of the medical profession, the so-called rod of Asclepius, is the snake wrapped around the branch that is also featured in the official logo of the AMA, the American Medical Association. You might also remember that Jesus once told his disciples to be as wise as serpents. So sometimes there's a positive connotation with snakes and vipers. Generally, though, snakes have a negative connotation for most people, and also pretty much in the Bible. It was, after all, the serpent that tempted Eve. And when John the Baptist scolded the Pharisees, he called them a brood of vipers and a bunch of snakes. In Numbers chapter 21, Israel is still fresh off of its rescue from Egypt. And this new nation encounters its first Canaanite enemy, the nation and the king of Arad. Before the battle, Israel promised, as God had commanded, Israel promised that they would dedicate the spoils of war to the Lord by destroying all of it. Well, sure enough, Israel won the battle, and just as they promised, they dedicated all of the booty to the Lord by destroying it. It was a shining, if a rare, example of Israel actually obeying the Lord. And those who read the book of Numbers, when you get to chapter 21, you start to feel a sense of hope that maybe, just maybe, Israel is going to be faithful. But then the story quickly takes an ominous turn. Israel, as we read earlier in the Old Testament reading, Israel becomes impatient with their journey to the promised land. And they start complaining to Moses about lack of bread and water. And they grumble about this what they call this miserable manna. Imagine that, God's daily provision for them, a pure gift of His grace. And they refer to it as miserable. And as if that were not bad enough, they're grumbling against Moses, Israel also grumbles and complains directly against God. Another very grim development. This Old Testament reading shows how Israel forgot how God had so graciously delivered her from her bondage in Egypt and had given her life in a wilderness that was full of death. Israel had forgotten God's call to be God's chosen people, His holy nation, and a kingdom of priests. Well, such willful amnesia has its consequences. And in this case, God responds to Israel's mutiny by sending venomous snakes to attack them. The Hebrew word for venomous literally means fiery. Likely, that's a reference to the burning sensation that a snake bite might have caused. But it's also an appropriate metaphor for the fiery anger of God against His rebellious and ungrateful people. Well, snakes on the plain, and that's P-L-A-I-N, the snakes on the plain had their desired effect. They bit people, a lot of Israelites died. And soon Israel is on her knees confessing her sin and pleading with Moses and begging God to remove the snakes. But it's interesting, God does not give the people what they ask for. They want God to take away the serpents from us. That's verse 7. But the serpents do not go away, nor do they even stop biting the people. Instead, God instructs Moses on how to heal the people who are bitten. They will still be bitten, and yet they will live. Deliverance does not come in the way that they had asked for or expected. And by what means does God bring about this great healing? By means of a bronze serpent that was lifted up on a pole, so that whenever a stricken Israelite looked at that snake, he or she would not die, but would live. Out of certain death, God brings forth life. And He teaches His people an important lesson in faith and in trusting Him, trusting God for their salvation and for their life. And yet that bronze serpent does not somehow represent God. God always forbade images and representations of God. That's the second commandment. You shall not make any graven images. In 2 Kings chapter 18, this bronze serpent reappears centuries later, six centuries later in Israel's history, when King Hezekiah is trying to reform Israel and to call her back to the worship of God. And the Bible says that Hezekiah destroyed all of the items that were associated with the worship of the Canaanite gods, the Asherah poles, the altars built to Baal, all of it. And along with that, he also destroyed the bronze serpent that Moses had made, because by these centuries later, the Israelites had turned the bronze serpent into an object of their worship. The bronze serpent was not a representation of God. It was not to be worshipped. The bronze serpent lifted up on that pole had the power of healing only because God attached His specific promise to it. Just as the water of Naaman, the water of the Jordan River healed Naaman, and our baptism and the Lord's Supper heal us because God attaches His word and His promise specifically to these things. And yet, as great a blessing as that bronze serpent was for saving the lives of those who had been bitten by the snakes, it had no power to save them eternally. Those who were bitten were spared immediate death, but they would eventually still have to die. Someone else had to dangle from another kind of pole in order for the people's lives to be saved forever. Now we fast forward to John chapter 3, when Jesus discusses His earthly mission with Nicodemus one night, and He refers to that bronze serpent from Numbers chapter 21. And he says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so also the Son of Man must be lifted up. The Son of Man must be lifted up. Jesus must be lifted up, because as much as we may want to put evil behind us, as hard as we try to put evil behind us, as much as we'd like to think that sin's venom is not going to be fatal to us, the truth is we've all been bitten, and we're all dying as a consequence. Those snakes on a plane in Numbers chapter 21 reminded Israel, and they remind us, that evil is real, it is fiery, and it is pervasive, and you never know when it's going to bite next. Maybe your school will get shot up, or your ID will be stolen, your identification will be stolen. Maybe someone will destroy your reputation or scam you. Maybe the world will give rise to another Hitler, or your body will be afflicted with a disease, or someone will be sold into sex slavery, or maybe you'll be bitten and the ancient serpent will get the best of you morally. Those snakes on a plane remind us that Satan's fiery venom has stricken us to the core, and that should frighten us. The toxicity of our own hearts should frighten us. For Jesus said, out of these toxic hearts flow evil thoughts and murder and adultery and sexual immorality and theft and false witness and slander and all of those sins that defile us. The poisonous words that we spew forth, often without even thinking about it, that should frighten us, because those words are hurting the very people God loves, and they profane the name of our God, and we will not be held guiltless for our words. And the noxious thoughts of our minds should frighten us, because those thoughts are visible to our God who sees all, and they give rise to every manner of rebellion against God. Those snakes that remained among the Israelites remind us that Satan is still among us, that he is actively seeking to devour us, and that our lives are hanging in the balance, which is why the Son of Man must be lifted up. The day is coming when that ancient serpent will be cast into the fiery pit that was prepared for him and his angels. But for now, rather than removing that evil from us, God saves us in a most unexpected way by lifting up his only Son on the cross. For God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Not just life for a few more years, everlasting life. While that bronze serpent was not a representation of God that was to be worshipped, it most certainly was a foreshadowing of God's Son lifted up on the cross, the one antivenom for Satan's fiery bite. As those stricken Israelites once looked at that bronze serpent on a pole for their salvation, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and scorned its shame. So look up from the barren, snake-infested plains of this world. Look up to Calvary, where the cross was planted. Look up to the Son of Man who is lifted up on the cross for you. And let us say with the psalmist, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.